103,000 jobs were created in September with an unemployment rate that just won't budge.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Happy Friday. The nation's economy created 103,000 jobs for the month of September, which is more than analysts were expecting. But the unemployment rate overall stayed the same at 9.1%. The reaction so far has been pretty positive because there were upward revisions to July and August numbers as well. Gene Sperling is director of the Obama administration's National Economic Council. He's with us now from the White House. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good news, right?
Well, it's better than expected, but it's not nearly good enough. When you have 9.1% unemployment, when you are digging out from the worst financial recession since the Great Depression, you have to have stronger growth than this to get the type of job creation and that we need to start lowering unemployment. So we're happy it's better than projected, but not nearly satisfied, and no one should be.
Not nearly satisfied, but you know, it seems like we can't get to that cusp. You know, where economists say it's going to take 200, 250,000 jobs a month to lower the unemployment rate. Why?
This is what's most important. The president has proposed the American Jobs Act. Independent forecasters, like Moody's, for example, have projected that if nothing happens, there will only be about 42,000 jobs a month created next year. If the American Jobs Act is passed, they project there'll be 200,000 jobs a month. So we have a plan that independent forecasters are projecting could add up to 2% growth and up to 1.9 million more jobs next year. That could make a dramatic difference, not only take out insurance against a double-dip recession, but help get this economy the momentum it needs to start lowering unemployment.
I know the administration, sir, has said if congressional Republicans don't pass the president's jobs plan, the country's going to fall back into recession. And Republicans say they're not going to do it. They're not going to pass it. So what happens?
Well, it's not the administration saying that. What you're hearing is from top independent forecasters who have no politics saying that if nothing is done, we could see growth below 2%.
Well, the vice president said that we were going to go.
Unemployment, you know, all of them project unemployment to stay over 9%. And the real question for those who oppose the president's American Jobs Act is, where's your plan? What plan do they have that these top independent forecasters would project to create 1 to 2 million more jobs next year, to create up to 2% more growth next year? If they oppose the American Jobs Act and don't have their own alternative, then their message to the American people is that things are good enough.
We're going to have to wrap it up.
That's not what the president thinks. The president thinks we need bold action, and he's put forward a plan that has broad bipartisan support.
Gene Sperling, we're
going
to have to wrap it up. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for joining us.
We appreciate it.
Gene Sperling at the White House. Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The NASDAQ and the S&P are pretty much flat at the moment. NASDAQ's off about 0.2%. The Dow is up, though, 66 points, 11,189. Asian shares were up today, as were European markets. President Obama says protesters demonstrating against Wall Street in New York and other cities are frustrated with the financial industry and the fact that many of those who work in that industry don't always follow the rules. But is it time for the Occupy Wall Street folks to draw up a list of demands? Marketplace's Economy 4.0 correspondent David Brancaccio reports.
Banks got bailed out. We got sold out. Banks got bailed out.
Demonstrators here make clear their view something's rotten on Wall Street and blame it for growing economic inequality. Some placards read, "The middle class is too big to fail." But what to do about it? There's been no official list of demands. For some at the protests, the time has come to get more concrete. Harriet Jackson was in publishing but lost her job and her health plan mid-career.
At this point, they want to be all-encompassing, include everyone. So I understand that at the beginning, but I personally think that there should be an agenda so that we have something very specific to fight for.
But not listing demands may be by design. David Graeber, an anthropology professor who was one of the early organizers of the protest, told me spelling out demands can sharply limit the range of debate. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. By Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
Under health care reform, insurance companies will be required to pay for a set of essential health benefits. But what qualifies as essential? From the Health Desk at WHYY, Marketplace's Gregory Warner reports.
If you're a drug firm, a medical device maker, or a specialist doctor society, this list of essential benefits coming out is huge.
This is an influential list because what it does is gives instruction to all of the health insurance companies as to what they need to cover.
Dan Mendelson is CEO of Avalere Health. He says the Institute of Medicine will make public their recommendations on how to decide what's essential, anything from a lung cancer test to a smoking cessation program. Georges Benjamin is executive director of the American Public Health Association.
Everybody wants their test to be on the list. So the most important thing is that there would be an evidence base that it works.
But what works is not always obvious. Just last night, it was reported that a key federal advisory panel will recommend that healthy men should not be screened with a popular test for prostate cancer. The PSA test, used by millions, the panel found causes more unnecessary treatments and saves almost no lives. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And finally, Australia's High Court has put the kibosh on any more appeals from the band Men at Work. A lower court last year said the Aussie band copied a flute line in their song Down Under from the old campfire song Kookaburra Sits in the Old Gum Tree. Well, Men at Work has said any similarities to the Kookaburra song were inadvertent. They'd been ordered to pay 5% of their song royalties and earnings since 2002. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
More than a million people are expected to leave the military over the next 5 years and start looking for jobs. Vets are hoping to market their wartime experience.
There's more discipline. There's more of a need and a want to be on time and show up to work, which you don't get a lot of times.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the front lines of the labor wars. Next time on Marketplace from APM, that's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.